Well, this morning, we are continuing a series that began a couple weeks ago. It's the middle of a series. For those who have been here, might remind you. For others, this might be your first sermon within it. But it's all derived around the sermon series title of Way Too Much. It's a series that's inviting us to look at our lives from God's perspective. To look at our lives from God's perspective as we begin a new year, realizing that from God's vantage point, we are loved exactly the way we are. Exactly the ways we are. Exactly the ways we are. And also, we are realizing that God loves us way too much to let us remain the same. And so that's what our series is about, as we look from God's vantage point, realizing that we are loved exactly the way we are, and yet we are also loved way too much to remain the same. That's really the heart of the gospel, isn't it? And what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Jesus invites and welcomes all of us, any of us, every one of us, without any preconditions. Without any standards that first have to be met. You don't have to dress a certain way. You don't have to eat a certain food. You don't have to read a certain book, Jason. Anyone and everyone is welcome to be a part of God's kingdom. But once you accept that invitation, once you decide that you want to yoke yourself to Jesus, once you want to drive in that lane, God's love works to transform us, to sanctify us, to change us, to, in Jesus' words, make all things new. That's the both and of the gospel. That's the both and of Jesus. And so last week, Pastor Kevin talked to us about our spiritual lives, our spiritual selves, and more particularly, our relationships with Jesus. I wonder how yours is this morning. There's a little graph that you can do, circle 1 through 10. Perhaps you've seen these on a survey of where you would rank your life with Jesus. If 10 was deeply committed, personal relationship, all in with Jesus, and 1 is on the other end of that spectrum, where would you place yourself this morning? Pastor Kevin invited us to think along those lines and to decide this year to make some changes or to take on new habits, to discard old ones, to take on prayer, to pray through our calendars, our schedules, and to also join a Sunday school class or a small group. Good challenges as we begin a new year. This morning, we're going to take that in another direction or another step. Because we realize that if God loves us as we are, God also invites us to change or to live differently. That our spiritual lives aren't compartmentalized in their own category, but rather manifest themselves in all areas of our lives. And so we have our friend Jesse, who has been transforming every week or being made new from week to week. If you remember, after New Year's, he was that disheveled look with the $2,017 general glasses. Last week, we've got this really cool heart that sparkles in the light. And now this week, we've added running shoes around his neck. Has anyone taken on a New Year's resolution to exercise more or to eat better or to join the YMCA? Anyone do that? Thank you. I'm not the only one who's raising my hand. Has anyone joined a gym this year? Have you fallen into that trap? Yeah, me too. We joined the Y. You know, it was a good time to do it. They had the discounts and all that stuff. And I've actually gone a couple times, so I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Thank you for those who are clapping. I love it. But our physical lives and our spiritual lives are deeply and intimately intertwined. One can affect the other, and the other can affect the one. As we look at ourselves, we're talking about the entirety of our beings, our whole lives. In 1740, John Wesley understood this better than most. He was ahead of his time. He knew that our spiritual selves and our physical selves were deeply intertwined with one another. That you can't separate them apart from each other, but rather they shape and inform. Neglecting to care for our spiritual selves impacts our physical health. And neglecting our physical selves can impact our spiritual health. I'm going to unpack that a little bit this morning. But Wesley believed so much in this that he wrote a field guide to living healthy called The Primitive Physic. And for those who are doctors or nutritionists or more experienced in the gym than I want to remind you of that title, The Primitive Physic, because I am very primitive in my knowledge in this area. But I'm trying to change. In his book, though, Wesley offered general practices for healthy living as well as basic cures to illnesses. I want to give you just a couple highlights of his book. This is 1740, remember. He said, "A due degree of exercise is indispensably necessary to health and long life." Makes sense, right? He then goes on to say that walking is the best exercise for those who are able to bear it, riding horses for those who are not. "The open air, when the weather is fair, contributes much to the benefit of exercise." And you got a beautiful day again today, warmer temperatures to get outside. He then goes on and says that water is the wholesomest of all drinks. It quickens the appetite and strengthens the digestion most. But strong, and more especially, spirituous liquors are a certain, though slow, poison. Wise words. Coffee and tea are extremely hurtful to persons who have weak nerves. Those who read or write much should learn to do it standing, otherwise it'll impair their health. And we even have those standing desks now. And then he says that people ought to go to bed at about 9 and rise at 4 or 5 in the morning. I thought that'd get the most laughs. In honor of Mr. Wesley's advice, though, before we dive into scripture, I want to take a minute and have you all stand this morning, okay? Can you stand up where you are? You don't have to move around. Just stand up for a second. For those who are able, we're going to do a little bit of an exercise since it is the physical week, right? Well, we're not going to do exercises. Don't worry. Don't throw stones. But as you're standing, I want to share with you a survey that was released by the U.S. National Health and Nutrition Office. 4,700 people were interviewed and studied for about a week or two, I believe the study ran for. And researchers assessed people during that week or two on whether they were living a healthy life. They set the bar pretty low, they thought, breaking it into 4 categories. I'm not going to have you sit for each one if you think you passed or failed this. But they just want to know if someone was eating a good diet. Didn't have to be great, didn't have to be over the top, just eating a good regular diet. Moderately exercising throughout the week, not smoking, and keeping their body fat under control. So, yeah. Don't sit down yet. I'm not going to embarrass you. But anyone want to guess the percentage of people from that study who passed all 4 categories? What would you say? 20%. Okay, 20. I'm going to run with 20. So if we have about 180 people here or so this morning, we're going to try to do 20%. So choir, you can go ahead and sit down. Ends, I'm going to have you both sit down. Let's go also with you all sitting down. I think that's a guesstimate. And the back row, you can sit down too, okay? 20%. All right, that's about 20%. Y'all keep standing a little bit longer. 20% is too high. So over 80% didn't get that. Anyone want to take another guess? 12, 5, 10. Okay, 10. All right, let's have another half of you sit down. Okay, front 2 rows, you can sit down. And back 2 rows, you can sit down. All right, 10% still too high. 2-0. Someone says 0. It's a little bit better than that. It's a shade better than 2. So let's have, I want to make sure I get my math right. Ralph, will you stay standing? You two remain standing. You remain standing. That gives us 4. And the row behind Kim, you guys can sit down. We're going to leave 4 standing. Yeah. Do you mind staying up? Well, yeah. So we've got about 5. 4, 5, 8. One of you can remain standing.
Four or five, I'm going to let you sit down in a minute. Thank you. Four or five, if this room's got about 180 people in it, it was 2.7% lived healthy. That among all. Okay, you can sit down. Thank you. Less than 3% of the adults in that study passed all four relatively low bars for physical health. Going a step further in their research, one of the most enlightening things that they discovered was that our unhealthiness as a nation transcends every category you might want to put on it or inclined to do so. It didn't matter the age of the person. From young to elderly, the unhealthiness ranged across all ages. From highly educated to lowly educated, geographically, wealth, income, high, low, no matter your job, across the board, Americans are very physically unhealthy. Clearly, there is an issue in our nation, an issue in our country with physical health. And I believe the Christian faith has something to say about it. And so this morning, I want to invite you to follow along in our scripture passage on the screen, or just listen as I read to you verses from Jeremiah chapter 18, specifically 1 through 6. In it, they read that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, "Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message." "So I went down to the potter's house," Jeremiah said, "and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does?'" Amen. I love this image, and I think it speaks specifically to the physical component of our spiritual lives and our spiritual whole selves. Specifically, I love the clay imagery of the potter working with this lump of clay. It resonated a little too close to home. Does anyone ever feel like clay? Lumpy? Dumpy, just fat, blobby, same thing. I love this image, and it resonated. Perhaps that's why it stood out to me as I was thinking about this sermon, because I feel so much like this lumpy, dumpy, blobby, fatty piece of clay, to use your words. God sends Jeremiah down to the potter's house to show him how God views God's people. And this is the image, this is the scene that Jeremiah sees. It resonates a lot with me. Often we're told, mostly indirectly and with other words, that we are lumps of clay, easily discarded, of little to no use, certainly not enough, ugly, misshapen. We get told that a lot. I'm thinking specifically of the subtle ways our culture, and in particular, marketing and advertisements, speak that word to us. That we're too old, or that we're too young. That we're too ugly, we're too fat, we're too thin, we're too skinny, we're not strong enough, we're too strong. Whatever the needs that they put into us is a product behind it that they're trying to sell. We're marketed to in ways that make us feel like we are not enough without the product that they are trying to sell. We aren't man enough unless we drive a certain car. We aren't beautiful enough unless we have a particular style. We are less than without, you fill in the blank. Can you think of any particular ads or television commercials or ways that you are subtly shaped?
your self-image is informed? This problem of insecurities and poor self-image is, again, across the board, and I believe impacts our physical, our spiritual, our emotional, all the gamut of our health. So too can sermons such as this Sunday's sometimes unintentionally drift into those waters as well. A sermon on physical health can too easily devolve into another exercise in shaming. But that's not the heart of our passage. That's not the thrust of what God is wanting Jeremiah to see as he sends him into the potter's house. Yes, at the center of what Jeremiah sees is a lump of clay. But it is a beloved lump of clay. One that is formed and shaped by the potter whose hands never leave the wheel. That is a different voice. That is a different perspective. That is a different way of understanding and seeing ourselves. It's a reminder that God loves you exactly the way that you are. And I love the marriage ceremony. I love how some traditions in the Christian faith view marriage as a sacrament. Because part of the vows that we take in marriage is to love one another, to be with each other for better and for worse. For fewer pounds or for a few more pounds, as the years tend to go on. But what a different way of understanding ourselves versus a culture and a way that capitalism tends to leverage itself against us, putting us in positions where we feel less than or that we need things and stuff to be more whole. Rather, God offers a different vantage point or way of viewing ourselves as ones who are beloved children of God. Our scripture this morning invite, or rather other scriptures invite us to imagine God as ruler and judge, as writer and teacher, as a farmer or a builder. Some passages even liken God to a father, mother, or lover. But in Jeremiah 18, we are invited to see God as an artist who takes normal, menial things, lumps of clay, and turns them lovingly, graciously, hands-on into something more beautiful, something with a function, something with a purpose. We are formed by a God who loves us exactly the ways that we are. You don't have to lose 10 pounds in order to gain more of God's favor. And if that doesn't elicit an amen, I don't know what will. You are enough, just as you are. You don't have to prove anything to anyone. You don't have to get that raise or that job promotion. You don't have to be the cool mom or the cool dad wearing the cool clothes as you drop your kid off or pick them up. You don't have to drive that sweet Toyota Sienna where my van driver's at, or Honda Odyssey, whatever your jam is. We are formed by a God who loves us exactly the way we are. A few verses later, though, after the section that we read, God continues on, because the story doesn't stop there, saying, or rather warning the people, that if they don't change their ways and their actions, disaster will come, disaster will fall. You see, this story is couched within a wider story of Israel's willful disobedience. The people knew what they were supposed to do, and yet they willfully, intentionally, purposefully chose to do otherwise. Isn't that just the perfect analogy for our own physical selves and our physical selves? Has anyone gone to the doctor and they tell you you need to either stop smoking or stop drinking too much or lose a few pounds or you fill in the blank? You don't have to raise your hand on that one. But most of us have are given things to work on by our doctors to make our physical selves better. A study was conducted by Johns Hopkins University Medical School on patients who had undergone heart bypass surgery. They were told before the surgery leading up to it and in the days after that they needed to make certain life changes or else their damaged heart and the repairs that were done would continue to be damaged and that they'd have the problem again, if not worse. When they were tracking these people after their surgery, however, 2 years later, they discovered that 90% of them had not changed their ways, had not changed their lifestyles. They had undergone this massive life-changing surgery that costs a lot of money, that costs a lot of personal investment beyond finances, and yet they didn't change afterwards. I wonder if that might also speak to our spiritual selves. Far too many of us, it's just enough to get inside the door, to be loved exactly the way we are. That old hymn that used to be sung at Billy Graham rallies, "Just As I Am," we were content to stay that way. But I'm wondering what might be found out of Christians who had given their lives to Jesus, and how many had their lives changed afterwards or because of Christ. Their spiritual lives, certainly. But I wonder how our faith might be lived out physically. What we choose to do or what we choose to stop doing because we are following and living into the way of Jesus. How about relationally or financially? The categories go on, but for far too many of us, it can too easily devolve into separate categories or silos that we can put our faith in one box and live with our finances in another or with our physical health selves in one yet still. The list goes on. Relationships, work lives, you fill it in. When what God is wanting to do is infuse every component, every aspect of our lives, just as yeast within bread, and spread God's good news, Jesus' radical new life, into every component of our whole selves. And so I'm wondering this morning, what qualitative difference does Christ make in your life? What qualitative differences? What does it cost you? What has changed because of Jesus? Perhaps, like this passage invited Israel to, we are also invited to reflect and to repent, to turn, to change, to recommit our whole lives to Jesus this year. And in a couple of weeks after we finish with these categories of sermons, we're going to have the opportunity to do just that. For those who want to give their lives to God for the first time, you are encouraged to talk with us and to sign up for baptism because we want to celebrate those lives who are being made new in Jesus. That Sunday, though, we're also going to offer an opportunity for people to recommit their lives, to remember their own baptisms, whether you were a baby, a young person, or even at some point in your adult, to remember that commitment that you made in recommitting yourself to God. That'll happen in a few weeks. But be thinking about it now, of how God wants to invite you to change your life this year. Well, this passage, there is one other subtle point in it. I want you to notice what was not there. In the time that God invited Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house, the potter was working and forming and reforming a lump of clay into a new vessel, one that was no longer marred or damaged, but rather one that would be made new and live with a new purpose. What Jeremiah did not see, and I wonder if intentionally so, was he did not see the potter fire up the clay. He didn't see the clay once it had been dried, once it had become rigid, once it was no longer malleable. I wonder if there isn't a lesson in there for us also. Are you still able to be shaped and reshaped? Are you still pliable enough and moldable enough, willing enough to invite God into your life, being open to have some parts cut away, being open to be remade, reworked, reshaped? How are you this morning? And how open are you to allowing God to work in your life? Perhaps you need a little extra water. There's that baptism thing again. You see, reworking isn't always a punishment. Sometimes it's more than we could ever hope for. The most important step in all of this goes back again to Jesus. Because for any of you who know anything about pottery, you know that that lump of clay had to be placed at the very center of the wheel in order that it doesn't go flying off, in order that the potter might have her hands on it. The clay had to be centered on the wheel. And so if we are all like clay, so too must we center ourselves on what matters most. We must center the entirety of ourselves on Jesus. The God who loves you exactly the way you are, and yet loves you way too much to let you remain the same. And so this year I want to give you an opportunity to live into a new way of being with your physical self. One of the things that I believe very, very deeply, and I preached on this several months ago, is that life is better together. Do you remember that Sunday? I think it was the one I talked about theological anthropology. That still makes me laugh. But we're better together. And so one of the things that I found is it's very difficult for me to make any sort of substantive life change without the help of others. And yes, there's a theological impetus for that. Go back and listen to that sermon. But part of that, though, is with our physical selves as well. And so I have co-opted one of our members who is trained in this area specifically, who has created a walk, jog, run plan and group for those who want to be a part of it. She has different plans and different schedules, training schedules for you to go from couch to 5K. Have you heard that one before? I love that. So anyone is in the realm of being able to get up to that point, as well as for those who are a bit more experienced or in shape who want to train for a half marathon. The end date for this is the first weekend in May, when in Indianapolis there will be both a 5K walk and a half marathon jog run. Has anyone signed up for this yet? All right, we got at least mostly laughs, right? 5K, you can do the 5K, walk it, no problem. My mom's doing it. I signed up for the run this year because I got to get back in shape. And so the first Saturday in February, there's a sign-up sheet already out there. You can sign up to meet at Holland Park to walk, jog, or run together with Kelly Drew and others who are helping her lead. Then we will do this together. Pastor Kevin asked how many of us actually made it through a resolution, and most of us said no. Well, let this group help you. Perhaps God is convicting you, or you just made it a personal goal this year to change your physical health. Let this group be one way that you can become more connected with people in the church while also working on your physical selves. There'll be a devotional that will run with it every week so that we can also be keeping God at the forefront of our entire beings. This is just one practical step that we're creating to help each one of us become healthier this year. holistically. Spirit, mind, body, relationships, finances, our whole selves given to God. Are you ready? Are you moldable? Are you some lumpy clay that needs to be reshaped? Dear God, we all are clay before you, and we are thankful that you are the potter who lovingly works with us and holds us in your hands. God, you know each one of us by name. You know what's going on in our lives, and those areas in particular that we need to be cut away, pruned, and reformed so that we can more faithfully live as your people, that we might live with a purpose to glorify you and to enjoy you forever. And so, God, toward that end, may you continue to work within us and through us to become more and more the people you are inviting us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.